Thank you to the choir for that prayerful introduction to this time. When we follow Jesus, it's sort of like we wrap ourselves in a cloak that reflects God's light to the world. Now, Harry Potter fans will remember the cloak of invisibility, which he throws on to make himself disappear at critical moments of his magical adventure. It blocks him from completely being seen by others. It becomes such a prized heirloom that Harry decides to keep it so he can pass it on to one generation and next in his family. Now, it might interest you to know that being invisible makes all the top 10 wish lists for superpowers. I don't know if you've made that list, but that list generally includes strength, ability to fly, speed, see through buildings, being able to sleep through sermons with your eyes still open. Invisibility makes that top 10 power list as well. It's not just Harry Potter that wanted to disappear. If we're honest with ourselves, there are times when we'd like to disappear. Maybe we try to say something funny in a large group and suddenly realized, ooh, it's not funny, but offensive. Or we work up the courage to ask someone to go out to coffee with us, thinking it might be a date, and the person responds, let's just be friends. Or our mind goes blank right in the middle of a conversation, and we forget someone's name who we've known our whole life. If only we had had Harry Potter's cloak of invisibility. There are other times we want to be invisible because we're ashamed of our actions. We don't want people to see what we're doing. We prefer our privacy. We can hide our activities from others. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians says it this way, that we are, quote, following the ruler of the power of the air, end quote, which leads to problems in sin. Now, that's kind of strange language there, following the ruler of the power of light. Sounds something like the magical world of Harry Potter. But I think what the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate is that we often behave in ways that are really worldly, under the influence of powers and spirits that lead us away from God. We may criticize our culture, but we're the ones who created it. We let ambition, greed, jealousy, fear, anger get the best of us. And we know that we're headed in the wrong direction. That we ought to turn around, which is what Lent is all about, turning around. But changing directions is tough. We would rather just disappear, poof, put on our cloak of invisibility and disappear. For those who want to vanish, don't look for it on your favorite shelf of your favorite big box store this week, but science is in the process of providing some help. I was checking this out on Wikipedia this week, so you know it's got to be true. Researchers have demonstrated that they're now able to cloak three-dimensional objects using artificially engineered material that redirect light around an object. The material deflects light waves around an object like water flowing around a smooth stone in a stream. The key is to keep the light from bouncing back, because if it bounces back, if the light is reflected, then the object can be seen. The National Science Foundation has done some funding, universities have done some research, and of course our military is very interested in gaining a fighting advantage by making its people and equipment invisible. The bottom line is, if you don't want to be seen, you have a way to bend light around yourself. If light is reflected, you're going to be seen. Think of when you're out driving and it's getting dark. What a difference that reflector makes on a bicycle. It's the difference between being seen and not seen. It's clear from our text that Debbie read from my favorite version of the Bible, the Pastor Paul version. Yeah, Our text in John is that says that God is like the beams of light on that car. God sends light and wants the light to bounce off of us instead of bend around us. God, who is rich in mercy and grace, loves us so much that even though we don't even have our act together, we're made alive in Jesus. We become alive in Jesus when we become part of the community of faith, sharing our light. It's sort of like we wear the garment label of Jesus. Jesus becomes for us not just an avenue for a vanishing act, but enables us to become visible, helps us reflect God's light, and makes us visible to folks we encounter each and every day in our world. I guess what I'm saying is, for the purposes of this message, bending light and doing a vanishing act, that's bad. Reflecting light, being visible to the community and world, that's good. It's about turning from our desire to disappear and wearing Jesus so that we can have visibility. Now, those of us who don't feel like we deserve special Jesus garment that makes us visible, it's grace that saved us, nothing we have done. It's grace. Oh, but we did, what about when we did? No. How about? No. Grace is a gift of God, not the result of works, of doing something. God so loved the world before we really did anything. God gave. That garment that makes us visible is a gift of God, given to cover up our many sins and shortcomings. We don't earn that cloak. We certainly don't deserve it. Instead, God gives it to us so that we can reflect the light of Jesus to the world. God gave not to condemn, but to show us the way. God's not interested in hiding, in us hiding, and God doesn't want the light to bend around us. Instead, God fills our closet with Jesus so that we can become visible signs of God's presence in the world. By grace, God moves us from shadow to light, from invisibility to visibility, from a bad seat with an obstructed view to one in heaven right behind home plate. We're created for a life of visibility. We've been created for a life that lets God's light shine. So the operative question is, what does such a life look like? Reverend Ted Bolsinger has suggested that we think in terms of heavenly bodies. Would you be, he asks, a star or a moon? He says that most people lean towards being a star. Makes sense. Why be a lifeless moon when you can blaze in glory, give off life, be the center of your own solar system? But think again. Do we really want that? We weren't made to be stars. In truth, God is the star. God is the light. And in God, there are no shadows at all. Bolsinger concludes that each of us were created to be a reflecting moon instead of a bright star, saying, moons reflect the light of the sun in the darkness. When others can't see the sun or feel it, as if they're wandering in blindness, we can offer them a reflection of light to light their path and keep them safe. It was 8 years ago in the summer of 2010 that I went to Africa on sabbatical. Went to a really rural part of Africa. Now, when I say I was away from all city lights, I mean I was away from all city lights. Let me tell you, it was dark at night. Now, I've been out camping in the United States when it's been overcast and there's no stars shining down, away from the city. I've thought that was dark. It was nothing compared to what I experienced in Africa. It was not just dark, but dark with a shade of dark and a shade of dark on top of that. But when the moon was full and I was there long enough to experience a full moon, we could see well enough to walk around even at night. It made all the difference in the world. We've all experienced a time at night when there's no light, times when the full moon makes a difference. The next time you're out at night with a full moon, notice the glow. Notice how you have improved visibility. Now, science has shown that without our moon, well, the Earth would start to wobble in an erratic pattern, and it would make life as we know it impossible. It has to do with gravitational pull and a bunch of other scientific stuff that I don't really understand, but I know is true. If the moon disappears, so do we. Well, without you reflecting God's light and love, many people's lives would become impossible. I think you'd be amazed at how many folks you help stabilize, how many folks you help see through the shadows. As people who reflect the light of God, we can do some good and meaningful work in this world and the people around us. We are called each day to reflect Jesus and go into shadowy and unexpected places. This past week, I had the privilege of being part of a group here at the Palms who had a conversation about helping the homeless, not just in giving food, not just in downtown Phoenix, but the homeless right here in this very community. And yes, there are homeless people in this community. We talked about what can we do long-term, short-term. I like the idea of trying to be a reflecting moon, of trying not to be your own star, but to act more like a moon, reflecting light to others, making Jesus part of your life so that your life can shine. When? Well, in mission, at home, at work, in church, in the marketplace, in traffic, in committee meetings, on the golf course. Stepping on toes there? Yeah. God has made us to shine. John Newton, the author of the words Amazing Grace, wrote many great things. He wrote these words, "I am not what I ought to be." I think most of us can relate to that. "I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be. But still, I am not what I used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." And finally, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Do that which is assigned to you, and you cannot hope too much and dare too much." We've been created for a life of visibility, personally and corporately, created in Jesus Christ to do good works wherever we live, work, and play. By the grace of God, be who you are. Don't hide, don't disappear, don't be silent on things that matter. Be visible. This community, this world needs this church, needs you. Reflect your light of God to others. Thanks be to God. Amen.